الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد, the author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى ذكر تواضع العالم والمتعلم, ذكر تواضع العالم والمتعلم, the mention of the humbleness of the scholar and the student. Now the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions this brief chapter clarifying some of the most important traits and characteristics and some of the best manners and etiquettes of the people of knowledge, and a sign that the knowledge that they are carrying is beneficial for them, and that is the attribute of humbleness, being humble and being kind and not being arrogant and not being rude and harsh and hasty. And it's been narrated by Ibn al-Mubarak rahimahullah ta'ala. He says, لا ينبل رجل بنوع من العلم ما لم يزين علمه بأدب. A man will never obtain virtue from any aspect of knowledge so long as he did not adorn his knowledge with manners and etiquettes. لا ينبل رجل بنوع من العلم ما لم يزين علمه بأدب. That a man, he will never become virtuous or noble with any aspect of knowledge until he adorns his knowledge with manners. Until he adorns his knowledge with manners, with the manners and the etiquettes of knowledge, and the manners and the etiquettes of the people of knowledge. And we have seen in our previous class that those true students of knowledge and those true scholars and people of knowledge, they are the best of mankind, and they have the most high and lofty rank and status. And this is because of the knowledge that they obtain and the knowledge that they carry, and it changes and rectifies their life, and it purifies their creed and belief and their intentions, and likewise it rectifies their conduct and their manners, and likewise it rectifies their conduct and their manners. So this is of utmost importance to realize with regards to seeking knowledge, that the knowledge, it will humble a person, and the knowledge will rectify a person's conduct and his manners, and will change the way he thinks and he acts, and it will change the way he moves and speaks. It will change the way that he looks at life and understands the realities of life, and it will change the way that he deals with the people. It will change the way that he deals with the people who have knowledge. He will have light, and that knowledge and light will refine his soul. It will refine his soul, and it will perfect his manners by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. It has been narrated by Al-Dhahhak ibn Makhlad rahimahullah ta'ala that he mentioned, من طلب هذا الحديث فقد طلب أعلى مراتب الدنيا فينبغي أن يكون أفضل الناس. That whoever seeks after these narrations, meaning whoever seeking the knowledge of hadith, then he has sought after the highest levels of this life, and the best of this life, to seek after and to learn that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upon, and to learn the knowledge that was revealed to the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَيَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَكُونَ أَفْضَلِ النَّاسِ. So therefore it's incumbent for the likes of this individual to be from the most virtuous of mankind. It's not befitting for a student of knowledge to be reckless. It's not befitting for a student of knowledge to be reckless and to be rude and to be harsh and to be mean and to be cruel and to be selfish and the likes like this, and to be hasty. This is not proper for knowledge. The knowledge, whenever it's sincere and true and pure, it will sink into the heart and it will break a person, and he will become humble, he will become kind, he will become gentle, he will think before he speaks, he will think before he acts, he will weigh up the circumstances and situations, and he will look into the best interest of himself and likewise of others around him before he acts and before he moves and before he speaks. This is from the virtue of knowledge. Allah, he mentioned in his book, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَى. It is only the scholars who truly fear Allah Azza wa Jal. And the salaf, they have mentioned about knowledge, the true knowledge, it is al-khashya, khashyatullah, that one, he will fear Allah Azza wa Jal, fear Allah and have reverence of Allah and respect and honor. And this is the true reality of knowledge, that it will humble a person and it will make him upright, noble and respectful and good. And likewise, he will be strong and he will be firm on that knowledge by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah, he mentioned in his book, سَأَصْرِفُ عَنْ آيَاتِيَ الَّذِينَ يَتَكَبَّرُونَ في الأرض بغير الحق. Then I will turn away from my signs. سأصرف عن آياتي الذين يتكبرون في الأرض بغير الحق. I will turn away from my signs those who are arrogant and boastful in the land without right. Those who are arrogant and boastful in the land without right. So arrogance and pride, this is the opposite of humbleness. The opposite of التواضع is الكبر. الكبر أو التكبر. What is istikbar, to be arrogant, to be proud, to be haughty, to think that one is better than others, and the likes like this, and to look down upon others and to belittle them. This is arrogance, and to refuse to accept the truth whenever it comes. Whenever it comes, this is all from arrogance. So the opposite of humbleness is arrogance, and Allah, He will turn away. He will turn away from His signs, meaning they will not be able to benefit from the knowledge. Those who are arrogant in the land without right. And likewise, Allah, He mentions, تِلْكَ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ نَجْعَلُهَا لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُرِيدُونَ عُلُوًا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فَسَادَ وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. That this is the home of the hereafter. The good abode of the in the hereafter, we will make it for those who do not want to have high rank and status in the land. لَا يُرِيدُونَ عُلُوًا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فَسَادَ. They're not intending to have authority and command and power over the people through the land. Rather, they're intending to submit and to surrender to Allah Azza wa Jal and to bow down to His command in obedience and in submission. This is what they're looking for. And they're not looking for corruption and evil in the land. وَالْعَقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And the good outcome and the final and good outcome is for the people of piety. For the people of piety. We all know the narration of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, which is collected by Imam Muslim. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned a great threat with regards to al-kibr, with regards to arrogance, the opposite of tawadu', the opposite of tawadu'. And he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال ذرة مثقال ذرة من كبر. That the one who has the smallest particle of pride in his heart, he will not enter paradise. لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال ذرة من كبر. That the one who has مثقال ذرة, and the smallest amount, the particle's weight, a particle of dust, this weight here of pride in his heart, he will not enter paradise. He will not enter paradise. At this time, قَالَ رَجُلٌ, a man, he said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, O Messenger of Allah, صلى الله عليه وسلم, إِنَّ رَجُلَ يُحِبُّ أَنْ يَكُونَ ثَوْبُهُ حَسَنًا وَأَنْ تَكُونَ نَعْلُهُ حَسَنَةً. A man, he said, O Messenger of Allah, صلى الله عليه وسلم, indeed, a man, he likes that his garment be nice, and he likes for his shoes to be nice. He likes for his shoes to be nice. And he meaning whenever he heard this, he was afraid that this could be considered arrogance. That this could be considered a type of arrogance that would prohibit a person from entering paradise. The fact that a person, he likes to dress good or to have nice and good clothing and the likes like this. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلٌ يُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلٌ يُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ. Indeed Allah, He is the most beautiful and He loves beauty. Indeed Allah, He is the most beautiful and He loves beauty. Meaning that this is not what is intended here. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّمَا الْكِبْرُ بَطْرُ حَقِّ. الْكِبْرُ, الْكِبْرُ بَطْرُ حَقِّ وَغَمْتُ النَّاسِ. بَطْرُ الْحَقِّ وَغَمْتُ النَّاسِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, كِبْر, arrogance and pride, is بَطْرُ الْحَقِّ, يعني رَدِّ الْحَقِّ عَلَى قَائِلِهِ, to refuse the truth. To refuse to accept the truth, وَغَمْتُ النَّاسِ, يعني احتقار الناس وازدراءهم. To belittle the people and to look down upon them. This is arrogance. This is arrogance that will forbid someone from entering paradise. So this is the definition of kibr. The definition of kibr, yani of arrogance and pride. بَطْرُ الْحَقِّ وَغَمْتُ النَّاسِ. وَغَمْتُ النَّاسِ, to reject the truth and not accept it. To reject the truth and not accept it, and to belittle and look down on the people. To belittle the people and look down on them. To consider them insignificant. To consider them insignificant. So the chapter that we're studying is the opposite of that. That is التواضع. تواضع العالم والمتعلم. العالم والمتعلم. يعني الشيخ والطالب. الشيخ والطالب. The humbleness of the scholar and the student. Meaning of the teacher and the student. The teacher and the student. So based upon the interpretation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of kibr, بَطْرُ الْحَقِّ وَغَمْتُ النَّاسِ, رَدُّ الْحَقِّ, عَدَمْ قُبُولِ الْحَقِّ, to not accept the truth, to refuse and to reject the truth, and to belittle and look down on the people and consider them insignificant. This is the definition of kibr. So what is the definition of a tawadu? قَبُولِ الْحَقِّ, وَإِحْتِرَامُ النَّاسِ, وَإِنْزَارُ النَّاسِ منازلهم وانزالوا الناس منازلهم يعني قبول الحق قبول الحق ممن جاء به ممن جاء به to accept the truth regardless who brought it. The truth is accepted regardless who brings it. The truth is accepted regardless who brings it. If someone brought the truth regardless who he is, the truth is accepted. The truth is accepted. And there's a difference between going and searching for the truth and accepting the truth whenever it comes. We shouldn't mix the two up. There's a difference between accepting the truth whenever it comes and going and looking for the truth. We will only go and look for the truth from the people of truth. We only go and search for the truth and seek the truth with the people of the truth. We'll not search for the truth with the people who mix the truth with falsehood, from the people of innovation and deviation, or from the people of misguidance and the people of disbelief. For example, we will not seek knowledge from them. We will not seek the truth from them. But if one of them happened to come to us with the truth, we would accept it and not reject it. We would accept it and not reject it. So there's a difference between the two. There's a difference between accepting the truth whenever it comes and seeking after the truth and hoping to learn it. So one, he will seek the truth from the people of truth, from Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, from the people of the truth only. But if the truth comes to him from any avenue, alhamdulillah, he will not be arrogant. وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا اعْدِلُوهُ وَأَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَىٰ. Do not let your hatred for a people cause you to be unjust or cause you to not be just, rather be just. It is closer to piety. So this is the issue here. To be humble, to have a tawadu, meaning that a person, he will accept the truth whenever it comes to him. And likewise, a person as well, he will put the people in their proper places. He'll put the people in their proper places and respect those who have respect, and he will respect them in the proper manner, and he will understand these affairs. Like Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, أُمِرْنَا أَن نُنَزِّلَ النَّاسَ مَنَازِلَهُمْ. We have been ordered to put the people in their proper places. So Allah Azza wa Jalla, He has given the people rights. Some of them have greater rights than others. The right of the imam, for example. The right of the ruler, for example. The right of the father and the mother, for example. The right of the neighbor, for example. These are rights that people have that take precedence over rights of others. And the one who's traveling with you, so on and so forth. And the companion, so on and so forth. These individuals, they have rights. And every individual in reality likewise has rights. The point is that these rights, they differ. Some of them are more emphasized than others. So a person, he will respect those rights. And he will give those rights to whom they are due properly in the legislative manner, seeking the reward from Allah Azza wa Jalla, and this is considered from a tawadu'. And this is considered from a tawadu', being humble, to accept that this person, he has a right, and to give him his right for the sake of Allah, and to accept the truth from a person whenever it comes, regardless of his rank or his status. Regardless of his rank or his status. So the author, he says, Rahimahullahu ta'ala, I'lam rahimakallah. اعلم رحمك الله أن الذي يحتاج إليه العالم والمتعلم مما ينبغي لهما أن يتمسك به للانتفاع هو التواضع. You must know, may Allah have mercy on you, that which the scholar and the student alike need from that which is incumbent for both to hold fast to as a means to benefit is humbleness. And the means for a person to benefit from knowledge is humbleness. And so therefore, the student and the scholar, the student and the sheikh, the student and the teacher alike, they are both in great need of humbleness. They are both in great need of humbleness. The people of knowledge, they mention about this issue of knowledge and humbleness, and they say, Al-ilmu harbun lil-fata al-muta'ali, kas-sayyid harbun lil-makan al-ali. العلم حرب للفتى المتعالي. That knowledge is at war, is fighting against the arrogant and the boastful young man. حرب للفتى المتعالي كالسيل حرب للمكان العالي. Just like the stream and the flowing water is at war or entirely against the high lands. If there's a high lands, if there's a sail, yani the flowing stream, a torrential flow of water flowing down a pathway, and then it comes to a land that is high, what happens to it? It crashes into it, and it comes to a stop, or it will go to the right, or it goes to the left. That high land will not accept that water. Whether it will divide that water, split it up and slow it down. It will send the water to the left side and to the right side. It will not be able to go up. It will not be able to go up. So just as the water and this highlands, they're at war against each other, meaning they do not accept each other. Likewise, the knowledge and a person who is arrogant and boastful, they don't come together. They don't come together. And this is because the knowledge, barakallahu fikum, is like rain. It's like the water for the hearts, and the hearts are like the land. So if the land is toward property and it's soft and good, then the water will come and it will flourish, and it will benefit, and the heart will flourish. But if it's not good, if it's strong or boastful in the likes like this, it will not accept. Likewise, the people of knowledge, they mentioned the example of the highlands and the mountains and the valleys, the peaks of the mountains and the valleys. Which portion of these lands here benefit the most from the water whenever the rain comes? The highlands or the valleys? The water comes from above and it hits the highlands and runs down immediately. So the highlands, they benefit briefly or a little bit as compared to the valleys. The water collects down there and benefits for the animals and the crops and the people. And it brings benefit for the animals and the crops and the people. So the lower lands, they collect more water and they bring more benefit than the highlands. And likewise, a student and a person of knowledge who is humble, he humbles himself before Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he lowers himself in this manner before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then in this manner the benefit will come to him. And this is the manner to truly raise. And it's been collected by Imam Muslim from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَا تَوَاضَعَ أَحَدٌ لِلَّهِ إِلَّا رَفَعَهُ مَا تَوَاضَعَ أَحَدٌ لِلَّهِ إِلَّا رَفَعَهُ. That no one humbled themselves before Allah except He will raise them. So the more we humble ourselves before Allah, before the command of Allah, before the decree of Allah, before the majesty and the greatness of Allah, and we accept and comply to the tawheed of Allah, and we surrender to the commands of Allah, and we love the commandments of Allah, the halal, and in performing that, and the haram, and avoiding that, and leaving that, and we take this as our life, and we're pleased and satisfied with that, then a person, he will rise. Then a person, he will rise in this life and in the hereafter in this manner. He will humble himself before Allah and he will submit and surrender to the command and the deen of Allah, and he implement that in his life humbly, seeking the reward from Allah, and Allah will raise him. So this is something that a person of knowledge no doubt is in great need of, to remember the issue of being humble. Because if one is not careful, we've seen what can happen to a person of knowledge. Rather, the first stage of knowledge, if a person, he begins to enter into knowledge, what happens to him? He becomes arrogant. We have seen how this occurs in our previous seminar, alhamdulillah, and the statement of Shafi rahimahullah, ilmu thalathatu ashbar, the knowledge is three levels. Ashibru al-awwal, at-takabbur, at-kibr, and the first shibr, it's a kibr, wa ashibr al-thani, التواضع, to be humble, and الشبر الثالث أنه يعرف أنه لا يعرف شيئا, and he comes to realize that he does not know anything, that then he compared to that he realizes now the vastness of knowledge, the ocean of knowledge, and how much he truly does not know. And at this time, the third level, he has the most knowledge himself. In the third level, he has more knowledge than he had in the second and in the first level. But now he realizes with this knowledge that the knowledge that he has compared to the knowledge that he does not have is very little. The knowledge that he has now in his highest level in knowledge, this causes him to realize now that the comparison of the knowledge that he does have to the knowledge that is available that he does not have is very little. And now he will be humble, and he will strive to continue learning and gaining more knowledge in this manner. So the author, he says, فَأَمَّا الْمُتَعَلِّمْ فَلَا يَأْنَفُ أَنْ يَتَعَلَّمَ الْعِلْمَ مِنْ صَغِيرٍ أَوْ كِبِيرٍ أَوْ مِمَّنْ هُوَ دُونَهُ فِي الْمَنْزِلَةِ أَوْ أَنْ يَقْبَلَ الْحَقَّ قَبُولًا حَسَنًا وَيَشْكُرَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ عَلَى مَا عَلَّمَهُ ثُمَّ يَشْكُرُ مَنْ عَلَّمَهُ مِنْ سَائِرِ النَّاسِ. As for the student, then he should not be too proud to learn knowledge from one who is small or big, anyone who is young or old, or one who has low status or high and lofty status, or from those who are under him in status. He should accept the truth in a good manner. As for the student, then he should not be too proud to learn knowledge from one who is small or big, or from those who are under him in status. He should accept the truth in a good manner. And he must thank Allah for teaching him, and then thank those who taught him from the people. He must thank Allah for teaching him. Alhamdulillah, Allah has taught me and guided me to this knowledge. And then likewise, after that, those who gave effort to teach him and to help him and guide him and direct him, he will thank them as well. After thanking Allah Azza wa Jal. After thanking and praising Allah Azza wa Jal, he will thank likewise those who teach him. Those who teach him. It's been narrated by Waqir Ibn al-Jarrah, rahimahullah ta'ala. He died in the year 197. He said, لَنْ يَنْبُلَ الرَّجُلُ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ الْحَدِيثِ حَتَّى يَكْتُوبَ عَمَّنْ هُوَ فَوْقَهُ وَعَمَّنْ هُوَ مِثْلُهُ وَعَمَّنْ هُوَ دُونَهُ. That a person from the scholars of hadith, a person from the students, a man from the students of hadith, he will not reach nobility until he writes narrations from those who are above him and from those who are like him on the same level and from those who are below him. From those who are below him, that he will take narrations from every aspect. No doubt, learning from those who are above you or older than you or higher or more lofty than you in status, this is the origin. This is the origin, that one he will learn from a teacher who is qualified, much more qualified than him. And this is the origin of seeking knowledge. So there's no problem here. There's no problem here. But likewise, one, he will benefit from his peers as well. And if ever his peers have knowledge he did not have or remind him of knowledge that he does have, he will accept that from them and benefit from them. And he will thank them likewise. Barakallahu fi. Jazakallahu khair. Like this, he will not be haughty in accepting the truth from his companions or his friends if it's something he did not know, or something that he knew but he was negligent with regards to applying, or it was something he knew but he was negligent with regards to applying. And he will be humble with his peers. And this is many times hard for people who are striving against their soul in this manner, to accept advice from their peers and from those on the same level, and likewise from those lower, he's saying here, until a person humbles himself, that he will also benefit from those who are lower, those who are younger. And this is not the origin in the affair, but the case is that if one were ever to come, somebody who is even lower than him, maybe it's even his student, or maybe somebody who is a beginner student and the likes like this, and maybe this person has been seeking knowledge for a long time, but if he comes with the truth, maybe he will correct him, or maybe he will advise him, or maybe he will direct him, or maybe he will mention some knowledge he did not even have. So the one who is older in this manner, he will not reject that, rather he will accept that. Waqi' rahimahullah, he's saying that a person, he will never reach nobility and knowledge until he's in this manner. He humbles himself and he's ready to accept the truth from those who are above him and from his peers and even from those who are under him. Even from those who are under him and level. And he mentioned a great point also. He says, وَأَنْ يَقْبَلَ الْحَقَّ قَبُولًا حَسَنًا. He will accept the truth in a good manner. Somebody brought the truth to him, he will accept it. It's been mentioned in narration about Ibn Abi Dhi'b. Ibn Abi Dhi'b, rahimahullah ta'ala, he is a great imam from the imams of the Sunnah in the time of Al-Imam Malik. He was alive in the same time of Al-Imam Malik, rahimahullah ta'ala, Al-Imam Ibn Abi Dhi'b. And it's mentioned that there was a student who came into the masjid, and he's waiting for the gathering of Ibn Abi Dhib, rahimahullah ta'ala. He's waiting for him to come out to narrate narrations. And as he's sitting there, he's narrating the story himself. And there's an individual who came, and then he just sat down. He came into the masjid and he sat down. And the man, he looked at him and realized or thought he didn't pray the sunnah. So he was harsh to him. He said, you're going to come in the masjid and sit down? Stand up and pray the sunnah before you sit down. Stand up before you and pray the sunnah before you sit down. So the man, he stood up and he prayed the sunnah. And then he sat back down. And then the people gathered around. And then he turned around and sat against the pillar and started narrating. And it was his teacher he's waiting for. He's the one who traveled. He's traveling to it. It was Ibn Abi Dhib, the one that he was just harsh and rude to, and told him this affair. So after the class was over, then he went to him and he told him, I didn't realize that was you. He said, don't worry, my son. You just ordered me with some good. That's why I stood up and did it. That's why I stood up and you didn't do anything. You just ordered me to do something good. So that's why whenever you said that, I realized and stood up and I prayed those two rak'ah. And so the point is that he didn't say, don't you know who I am? You don't know who I am? I'm just going to sit down and teach you right now. like he didn't say the likes of these things. Well, I heard the likes of these things from students of knowledge before. Allah understand. So-called students of knowledge. But no, he didn't say that. He didn't act like that. Rather, he stood, Jazakallah khair, barakallahu fik, and he prayed to Raqqa, and then he turned around and started teaching the people. So maybe sometimes a person could forget, or maybe he has a different view or opinion and likes like this. In any case, this is a great mithal, for qabul al-haq, qabul al-hasana, to accept the truth in a good way. Somebody bring the truth to you, don't reject it. You don't buck up to it. You don't yani show a bad face, whether you think about it. And if it's the haqq, oh, that is a hadith. Allahu Akbar. Jazakallahu khairan. Barakallahu feek. Barakallahu feek. Jazakallahu khair. Yani thank you for informing me and reminding me and directing me, because this is what a person of truth is looking for in the first place. He's looking for the haqq. He's looking for the sunnah. He's looking for the correct understanding of the legislation and law that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When yakbal al-haq qabulan hasanan wa yashkur Allah azza wa jalla, and he will also thank Allah azza wa jalla. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, Allah guided me to this individual to correct me or to direct me or to remind me or to teach me, to educate me. This is a favor and a blessing. This is a favor and a blessing. Wa yashkur Allah ala ma 'allamahu wa thumma yashkur man 'allamahu min sa'il an-nas. And then likewise he will thank those who teach him, likewise from the rest of the people. He will thank those who teach him, likewise from the rest of the people. So whenever good is done to a person, he will show thanks. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man la yashkur an-nas la yashkur Allah. Man la yashkur an-nas la yashkur Allah. Whoever does not show thanks to the people, he does not show thanks to Allah." So from showing thanks to Allah azza wa jalla is being kind to the people and recognizing the virtues that they have and thanking them whenever they do good. But one will realize in thanking them that the true thanks is for Allah Azza wa Jalla. And all praise and thanks belongs to Allah Azza wa Jalla. But likewise, we're also commanded to thank the people whenever they do good. It's been connected by Abu Dawood and At-Tirmidhi from the Hadith of Jabir radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he said, "Man u'atiya ata'an fawajida falyajzi bih." That whoever was given a gift and he has provision, you need to recompense him with, then he should recompense him and pay him back. And if somebody gives you a gift and you have the ability to repay them with another gift of kindness in the like manner, or even better in the likes like this, this is what one should do. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ فَلْيُثْنِي بِهِ فَمَنْ أَثْنَى بِهِ فَقَدْ شَكَرَهُ. And if he doesn't have the wealth or the means to repay him physically or financially, then let him praise him. Let him mention him good. And if he mentions him good and praises him, then he has shown thanks. Then he has shown thanks. And so if someone does good to you, and a charity and the likes like this, and then you do good back to them. But if you're not able to do good back to them for whatever reason, the way that you repay them is by praising them and mentioning them in good light. Mentioning them in a good light. Mentioning them in a good light to the people and the likes like this. And also saying to them, Jazakallahu khairan. May Allah reward you. Barakallahu fika. May Allah bless you. May Allah bless you both. Make dua for them and the likes like this. Praise them and mention them in good. And in this manner, one has shown thanks. And then he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَنْ كَتَمَهُ فَقَدْ كَفَرَهُ. And whoever conceals that good that they have done by not praising them or making dua for them or not mentioning them in a good light and the likes like this, concealing that good, indeed he was ungrateful. And he did not show any gratitude. He did not show any gratitude. From showing thanks for the favors and blessings, is then we thank the people who teach us. Alhamdulillah, we say Jazakallahu khairan, Barakallahu fikum. I benefited from your efforts. Alhamdulillah, may Allah aid you and accept from you. And the likes like this, this is all good. This is all good. When did Al-Imam Al-Ajurri rahimahullah die? When did Al-Imam Al-Ajurri rahimahullah die? 360. This is an old way. Barakallahu fikum. So he says, وَمِن تَوَاضُعِي الْمُتَعَلِّمِ أَلَا يَأْنَفْ مِنَ السُّؤَالِ أَمَّا يَغِيبُ عَنْهُ. And from the humbleness of the student is that he is not too proud to ask about that which he is unaware of. That he's not too proud to ask about that which he is unaware of. This is from the humbleness of a student. If he does not know, he will say, I do not know. What's the ruling of this affair? I'm unaware of this, or this issue is unclear for me. And the likes like this, and he will ask, and he will not be arrogant, and he will not be proud. Rather, this is from the obligations. It's been narrated from Az-Zuhri, rahimahullah, that he said, al-ilmu khaza'in, al-ilmu khaza'in, that knowledge is treasures, any that are stored away treasures, khaza'in, taftahuha al-mas'ala, al-ilmu khaza'in, taftahuha al-mas'ala, that knowledge is khaza'in, any stored away treasures that are stored away, locked away, and that which opens them is a question, that which opens them is a question, but the question has to be good. A person, he must ask a question whenever he does not know, but he must ask with a good intention, intending to learn and intending to benefit. And likewise, he should select the proper and the good and suitable time to ask those questions likewise and not go to extremes in these affairs. So the author, he says, رحمه ta'ala, وَالَّذِي يَمْنَعُ كَثِيرًا مِنَ النَّاسِ عَنَ التَّوَاضُعِ فِي الْمَسْأَلَةِ لِلْعُلَمَاءِ عَمَّا قَجَهِلُهُ مِمَّا هُوَ وَاجِبٌ عَلَيْهِمْ عِلْمُهُ والعمل به خصلتان الحياء والكبر. That which prohibits many people from being humble to ask the scholars about that which they are ignorant of, from that which is an obligation for them to learn and to apply is two traits. It's two traits, shyness and arrogance. Shyness and arrogance. But shyness and arrogance. So these two affairs here, they will prohibit a person from learning. Shyness and haya. And what is intended here, haya al-madhmum, al-mamqut, the type of shyness that is blameworthy and not praiseworthy. And not the legislative shyness. It's a type of cowardice, khawar, wal-juban, in reality. And they call it shyness linguistically, but in reality it's a type of cowardice and a type of weakness and a deficiency in one's personality, that he will not advance upon that which is beneficial for him, afraid out of shyness or shame and the likes like this. He will not ask out of shame, afraid that people will look down upon him. How come you're so old and you don't know this? Or I thought you that you are the great student and you don't know this affair and the likes like this. He will listen to these whispers in this manner, and it will prohibit him from asking questions. So it's called shyness. It's called haya here, linguistically. As for al-haya al-shar'i, then this one is all good. The type of shyness that is bashfulness that would carry a person, for example, in knowledge, that will carry a person to ask about knowledge, but with manners and with good expressions and words. So maybe there's something he is shy to ask about, but he will ask about it anyways, but he'll choose the proper way to ask. He'll choose the proper terms to ask, and he'll choose the proper time to ask. Even possibly if it's a very touchy situation and the person really feels shameful, he will send somebody else to ask for him. And this is likewise the way of the Salaf. This is likewise a Salafi methodology. And it's been collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim from the Hadith Ali radiallahu anhu, that he said, "Kuntu rajulan madha'an." Kuntu rajulan madha'an. That Ali, he said, radiallahu anhu, that I was a man that had the madhi a lot. Madha'an, and kathir al-madhi. And madhi is the sticky substance that comes from the male privates whenever he thinks about sexual intercourse. The sticky substance, the madhi that comes out before any pleasure and the likes like this, whenever he's just thinking about this. So he's saying, "Kuntu rajulan madha'an kathir al-madhi." And so he says, "Fa'amartu al-miqdad an yas'al an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." So I ordered al-miqdad to ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about this ruling. And he has some narrations likewise, bi-sababi manzilati min ibnatihi, and because of my position from his daughter. He's married to Fatima radiallahu anhuma. So he was shy to go straight to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and talk about this subject directly to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he needs to know the ruling. So the shyness did not cause him to be shameful and turn away from advancing on learning this ruling. Rather, he found another way, and that was that he sent al-Miqdad. Is that he sent al-Miqdad radiallahu anhu, so he asked him about the ruling. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Fihi al-wudu." Fihi al-wudu, that you have to make wudu from this. And some wordings likewise, igsil thakaraka. And some wordings likewise in Sunan Abi Dawood, inḍaḥ farjaka aw igsil thakaraka wal unthayayn, that you have to cleanse that part off. And he cleansed the organ and the testicles. All of this has to be cleaned. Whenever that fluid comes. The point is here that Ali radiallahu anhu, he was shy in this manner, but this shyness did not prohibit him from learning. Did not prohibit him from learning. He still sought the ruling, even if he had to go about it in a different way. In a different way. Likewise, in Abu Bukhari and Muslim from the Hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, "Ni'ma nisa'u nisa' al-ansar." Ni'ma nisa'u al-ansar. How good are the women of the Ansar. Such good women, the women of the Ansar. "Lam yakun al-haya'u yamna'uhunna and yet تَفَقَّحْنَا فِي الدِّينِ." That haya did not prohibit them from seeking an understanding in their religion. And if they used to come and they would ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Aisha likewise about affairs that would be private, or affairs that are related to the woman specifically, about her menses and the likes like this, and the other things that they may find coming from that area, or asking about things that occur between them and their husbands and the rulings related to that, they would not be too shy to come and ask. Whether they would learn the rulings. Likewise, in Al-Bukhari and Muslim from the Hadith of Salama radiallahu anha, Sulaim, she came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she said, radiallahu anha, inna allaha la yastahi min al-haq. Indeed, Allah is not shy from the truth. Had ala al-mar'ati min ghuslin idha ihtaramat, does a woman have to make ghusl if she has a wet dream? Even in the narration in Bukhari, Salama radiallahu anha ghattat, and she covered her face out of shyness and shame herself. She's just listening to the question being asked. She's listening to the question being asked, and she covers her face out of shyness that she's hearing this at this moment. And she said, O Messenger of Allah, does the women have this thing here? The women that hal tahtalim an-nisa? Do the women really have this dream like this? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam affirmed that, and he mentioned that yes, if idha ra'at al-ma 'alayha al-ghusl, idha ra'at al-ma 'alayha al-ghusl, that if she sees the fluid and she wakes up and she sees that fluid, then yes, she must make the ghusl. So the point is, barakallahu fikum, that no doubt shyness is from the religion, and there are things that no doubt a person he'll be shameful to speak about, especially yani around noble individuals or in private or in public and the likes like this. But this shyness here will not prohibit a person from learning the religion. And if it did, this is not true legislative shyness. This is a type of cowardice and a type of weakness and a type of weakness. So the people of knowledge, they say, al-haya'u qati'un wa al-kibr mani'un. Al-haya'u qati'un yani yaqta' al-insan an al-ilm wal-kibr mani'un yamna'uhu min al-ilm. So haya is something that will cut a person off from learning. And kibr is pride is something that will forbid a person from learning. A person will be on the path of learning, and shyness will cut him off, and he will not be able to learn and continue. And arrogance will stop him from that altogether. Stop him from that altogether. So the author, he says, rahimahullah, وَرُوِيَ عَنْ مُجَاهِدٍ وَرُوِيَ عَنْ مُجَاهِدٍ أَنَّهُ قَالَ لَا يَتَعَلَّمُ الْعِلْمَ مُسْتَحْيٍ وَلَا مُتَكَبِّرٌ. That it's been narrated from Mujahid, and no doubt this chain has been authenticated from him, rahimahullah ta'ala, that he said that the one who was shy, it has been narrated from Mujahid that he said, the one who is shy will not obtain knowledge, nor the one who is arrogant. The one who is shy will not obtain knowledge, nor the one who is arrogant. With regards to this narration, we mentioned two other individuals likewise. Who are they? Al-Kasul wal-ajul. Wala al-kasul wala al-ajul. The people of knowledge mentioned likewise, and not the one who is lazy, and nor the one who is hasty. And all four of these type of individuals will not learn. But the narration of Mujahid is referring to these two issues. Al-istihya, yani al-madhmum, al-haya al-madhmum, al-manqut, wa takabbur. Waliyadhu billah. So he says, rahimahullah ta'ala, wa idha tawadha'a at-talibu lil-ulama ahabbuhu wa afadu. This is great wisdom and great benefit that he's mentioning here for students of knowledge. And if the student humbles himself before the scholars, and before the teachers, they will love him and they will benefit him. أَحَبُّوهُ وَأَفَادُوا. They will love him and they will benefit him. وَإِذَا تَعَاظَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَتَكَبَّرَ وَأَرَاهُمْ أَنَّهُ مُسْتَغْنٍ عَنْهُمْ مَقَتُوهُ وَكَرِهُ أَنْ يُفِيدُهُ. And if he is boastful and arrogant and shows that he does not need them, and that he already knows. Some of them, even when they ask questions, but they already know. And that's what they think. And the likes like this. And they come to ask the question to show they already know. And the likes like this. And he's saying here, if he's boastful and arrogant and shows that he does not need them, then they will detest and dislike benefiting him. It's been narrated from Maymun ibn Mihran. Rahimahullah ta'ala. He says, لَا تُجَادِلْ عَالِمًا فَإِنَّهُ يَخْزِنُ عَنْكَ عِلْمَهُ وَلَا يُبَارِي مَا صَنَعْتَ. Do not debate with the scholar. Do not argue with the teacher. Because if so, he's going to withhold his knowledge from you. He's going to lock it up. He's going to lock up his knowledge from you, and he does not care what you would do. And he will not care what you do. So the person who has noble and good manners, and he's humble and he's patient with the teacher, then the teacher will see that from him, and he will love him, and he will strive to benefit him. But if the teacher finds that the student is arrogant, or if the student is harsh, or the student is hasty, or the student is rude, and the likes like this, he will not want to benefit him. Rather, the people of knowledge do not like to have the likes of these individuals around, because they're troublemakers and they cause problems and the likes like this. So they will not open up to them. If the student, for example, he has good manners and noble conduct, maybe he will ask a question and the teacher will give him an answer way more than he was looking for. He will answer his question and mention along with that three or four more issues that most likely he didn't know since he's asking this question. يعني يكون كريما بالعلم. Hakiman bil jawab. He will be generous with knowledge and wise in the way that he answers the question, giving him more than he asks for. Or maybe he will even come to him and benefit him before he asks. Or maybe he will invite him into more personal gatherings, or put him in a position where he will benefit from other students or from other teachers or from other people of knowledge, so on and so forth. And the great opportunities for the one who is humble with the teacher. And as for the one who is not humble, then maybe if he answers him, will answer him, yes, no. What's the rule? Is this halal? Is this haram? Assalamu alaikum. Like this. And not care. Yani about this individual or trying to benefit this individual, whether he will be trying to get away from the likes of this person, away from this likes of this person. So the one who is shy, he's not going to learn. The one who is arrogant, he's not going to learn. The one who is between the two, and he's humble and he's wise and he strives to have good and noble manners, inshallah, this is the one who will benefit. So this was with regards to the humbleness of the student of knowledge. Now the author is going to discuss the issue with regards to the humbleness of the teacher, the scholar. He says, أَمَّا مَنْ يُعَلِّمُ النَّاسِ فَتَوَضُعُهُ أَنْ يَشْكُرُ اللَّهَ وَأَنْ يَتَوَضَعَ لَهُ وَيَعْلَمَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ خَصَّهُ بِخَصِيَّةِ خَيْرٍ وَجَعَلَهُ وَارِثًا مِنْ وَرَثَةِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. Allahu Akbar. He says, Rahimahullah, and as for the one who teaches the people, his means of humbleness is in being grateful to Allah and humble before him. He must know that Allah has specified him with a specific quality of goodness and has made him an inheritor from the inheritors of the prophets. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. And Allah, he mentioned about, and Allah, he ordered his prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be humble to the believers. وَخْفِضْ جَنَاحَكَ لِمَنِ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, lower the wing of humbleness. وَخْفِضْ جَنَاحَكَ لِمَنِ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And lower the wing of humbleness and humility, and be humble towards those who follow you from the believers. So if this is what our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ordered to do with his followers, then likewise the inheritors of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. And again, this is a true sign of benefiting from knowledge. So he says, وَيَعْلَمُ أَنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنَ النَّاسِ قَدْ احْتَاجُوا إِلَى عِلْمِهِ. And he must know that many people are certainly in need of his knowledge. فَعَلَيْهِ أَنْ يَتَوَضَعَ لِمَنْ يَتَعَلَّمُ مِنْهُ وَيَرْفُقَ بِهِ وَلَا يَحْتَقِرَهُ. Therefore, he must be humble towards those who learn from him. Be gentle with them and not belittle them. وَيُقَرِّبَ عَلَى الْمُتَعَلِّمِ مَا يَخَافُ بُعْدَهُ. And try to bring near to the student the suitable benefit that he fears may be far from him. And the students are different levels, but if a teacher sees a student in need of a specific type of knowledge, he will bring that to him. He will make him aware of that. He will mention that either directly or indirectly, or directly and indirectly, to emphasize that for the student. Whenever he sees that there's an issue that the student is in need of specifically, he will bring these affairs up and he will mention that, giving sincere advice, hoping goodness for the student. So if it's something that apparently is not near the thoughts of a particular student, he will bring that up and he will teach them or remind them of this affair. He said, وَمَنْ فَعَلَ ذَلِكَ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ وَحَبَّبَهُ إِلَى عِبَادِهِ. Allahu Akbar. Whoever does this, Allah will elevate him and make him beloved to the slaves. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ يَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدًّا. Allahu Akbar. Allah will make them beloved to the slaves of Allah, those who believe and work righteous deeds, and at the head of that, to be a leader in teaching and calling to the sunnah and clarifying the deen and advising and admonishing the people, then Allah Azza wa Jal will cause the people to love him. وَمَنْ فَعَلَ ذَلِكَ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ وَحَبَّبَهُ إِلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ. Whoever does this, Allah will elevate him, because it is Allah who elevates the people and not the people. And will make him beloved to the slaves, because the hearts of the people are in the hands of Allah, not in the hands of the people. So this person, his heart is attached to Allah, the one who has authority and command, and the one who truly wants to be raised, then let him humble himself before Allah, and Allah will raise him. And if he would like for the people to love him, then let him dedicate and devote himself to Allah and make his love purity for the sake of Allah, and then Allah will cause the slaves to love him. Then Allah will cause the slaves to love him. قال عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه تعلموا العلم وتعلموا للعلم السكينة والحلم وتواضعوا لمن تتعلمون منه وليتواضع لكم من تعلمون ولا تكونوا جبابرة العلماء فلا يقوم علمكم بجهلكم. عمر بن الخطاب, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, he said, learn the knowledge and learn for the knowledge composure and forbearance. Right? Learn the knowledge and learn for the knowledge composure and forbearance. And he learned the knowledge and learned the etiquettes and manners of knowledge. Do not be heedless. Do not be heedless or reckless. Do not be harsh and rude. Do not be problematic. Rather, learn knowledge and learn along with the knowledge the etiquettes and the manners of knowledge, or else that knowledge will be a problem. That knowledge will be a fitna. That knowledge will be a trial for the one who does not have the manners of knowledge, that he's carrying knowledge. It is carrying knowledge. And this is something that we see in a great manner. Learn the knowledge and learn for the knowledge, composure and forbearance. And be humble towards those whom you learn from. And be humble towards those whom you teach. Both of them. The humbleness of the teacher and the student. The student, he is humble before the teacher, and the teacher is humble with the student. Likewise, kind and gentle. It says, and do not be from the tyrant scholars. Meaning that there were tyrant scholars, and there still are. Huh? Because your knowledge will not establish, because your knowledge will not be established by way of your ignorance. The author, he says, rahimahullah, وَمَنْ تَأَمَّلَ مَا وَرَدَ فِي فَضْلِ الْعِلْمِ لَمْ يُؤْثِرْ عَلَى طَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ شَيْئًا إِلَّا مَا لَا بُدَّ مِنْهُ وَصَبَرَ عَلَى مَا يَلْحَقُهُ فِيهِ مِنْ مَشَقَّةٍ. Whoever ponders over that which has come about from the virtue of knowledge, then he will not prefer anything else whatsoever over seeking knowledge, except what there is a must for. And he will be patient in that which he faces in the path from hardship. In the path from hardship. The one who realizes the virtue of knowledge, the hardships and challenges and difficulties he faces in that path will seem insignificant. He says, rahimahullah, وَإِنَّمَا يَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ مَنْ هُوَ مُشْفِقٌ عَلَى دِينِهِ يَخَافُ عَلَيْهِ أَشَدَّ مِنْ خَوْفِهِ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ وَمَالِهِ إِنْ كَانَ ذَا بَصِيرَةٍ وَعَقْلٍ. The only one who will truly do this is the one who is concerned for his religion and afraid for it. A fear more severe than his fear for himself and his wealth. This is if he were a person of insight and sound mind. وَعْلَمْ رَحِمَكَ اللَّهِ أَنَّا وَإِيَّاكَ فِي زَمَانٍ كَثِيرِ الْفِتِنِ مِنْ جِهَاتٍ كَثِيرَةٍ وَعْلَمْ رَحِمَكَ اللَّهِ أَنَّا وَإِيَّاكَ فِي زَمَانٍ كَثِيرِ الْفِتِنِ مِنْ جِهَاتٍ كَثِيرَةٍ إِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ مَعَ الْإِنسَانِ عِلْمٌ بِالْخَلَاصِ بِالْخَلَاصِ مِنْ كُلِّ فِتْنَةٍ تَرِدُ عَلَيْهِ وَإِلَّا فَقَدْ هَلَكَ. You must know, may Allah have mercy on you, that you and I are in a time with many trials from many different aspects. If a person did not have knowledge of the means of safety from every trial that comes to him, then he will be destroyed. Then he will be destroyed. You understand this? When did he die? 360, rahimahullah. He's saying to you that you and I were in a time of, we're in a time with much fitna and much trials. He didn't even have the internet, the phone. And if he's saying the likes of, he's telling us in his days, in 360, we're in a time, me and you were in a time of much fitna, much trials, shubuhat and misconceptions and doubts and problems and issues, people of innovation, fitna and trials. And if you don't have knowledge, then you're going to be destroyed. So even how much more emphasized is it in our days that we must strive to learn and find time to learn and have effort to learn and sacrifice a dollar and whatever we can, time and effort and blood, to learn the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla and to spread it. May Allah grant us success. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.